From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. More than 13,000 American servicemen and women have suffered serious injuries in the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Caring for them has stretched the military and its medical system to the brink, and many would say beyond. Today we have the story of one wounded soldier and his family.
2 years ago, Army Specialist Ronald Hinkle left a good trucking job and a working ranch in Byers, Colorado, to serve his country in Iraq. He survived an IED blast, but the festering wounds nearly killed him. Now Hinkle and his family are struggling to rebuild lives completely transformed by that explosion in Iraq. NPR's Howard Berkus has their story.
The nation formally honored wounded soldier Ronald Hinkle with a Purple Heart, delivered by Vice President Dick Cheney at Fort Carson, Colorado in November.
America's cause is right. America's cause is just. And with you in the fight, America's cause will prevail.
After the speech, the Vice President pinned the Purple Heart to Hinkle's desert fatigues. The soldier stood erect and proud, still stocky and broad-shouldered, hair buzz-cut short, a firm jaw and a round face. The moment was narrated by a booming announcer.
Attention to orders. The President of the United States of America has awarded the Purple Heart to Specialist Ronald Hinkle for wounds received in action in Iraq.
Just happened. It's part of the job. I was doing my job, and that's something that happened.
Back in his dining room in rural Byers, Colorado, in jeans and boots and an army green T-shirt, 34-year-old Ron Hinkle is matter-of-fact about everything he's been through and his desire to go back with his unit.
I'd be happy to go do it again. Loved everything. Just wish I could be there. Wish I could be with them. They all think I'm crazy.
Come on, sweetheart. Get up, big girl.
Out in the barnyard, Hinkle still moves with a soldier swagger as he coaxes a massive hog, bigger than any army grunt, from a rusted shelter and toward a trough filled with breakfast.
Oh, they figured it out. Breakfast time.
This is Hinkle's job now, and his therapy, caring for the 8 hogs, 9 horses, 7 cows, and 1 bull on his 60-acre ranch about 40 miles east of Denver. Hinkle can't use a pickup truck, a tractor, or his all-terrain four-wheelers on the ranch. He's not even supposed to drive down the driveway to close the front gate when the cows and horses are grazing. And he can't drive tractor trailers like he used to, all because of sudden seizures from a traumatic brain injury. Hinkle cannot be left alone. He doesn't think clearly at times, and he tires quickly, all since blood clots clogged his lungs and a medically resistant staph infection nearly killed him. He may never get much better.
I hope that it just goes straight back to normal. I hope there's no brain injury or nothing, and that's not going to happen.
This is 14-year-old Rebecca, the Hinkle's oldest daughter.
He's going to have brain injury. He's going to have seizures. He's going to start forgetting us, and it's going to happen. So we just got to make the best of what we have now and just keep going and not sit there and be like, other people who just drain on themselves and go, oh, well, he's only going to be here 8 more years. You just kind of got to pick it up and say, no, we're going to make the best out of this.
Ron sits and listens quietly to almost everything his family says in this story. His expression rarely changes. It's mellow, sweet, and his eyes seem a bit lost. We ask him about what he's hearing, and he simply shrugs his shoulders. His wife, Reese, does most of the talking now.
Within the family, I became the matriarch. Within my marriage, I came from a wife and a lover and a best friend to a caregiver.
37-year-old Reese Hinkle quit her job as a corporate accountant to take care of Ron. That's full-time work. Last year alone, she drove more than 10,000 miles for more than 300 doctor's appointments, most 120 miles away. There were also meetings with caseworkers, payroll clerks, insurance companies, military officers, and more.
I'm no longer an individual. I have not had any individuality for 18 months because Ron drastically needs me. My mother, the children need me.
18 months ago in a convoy in Iraq, Ron Hinkle stood in the turret of a Humvee, cradling a .50 caliber machine gun. He wasn't a kid when he enlisted. Just past 30, he already had a truck driving career, a working ranch, a devoted wife with a good job, and two doting daughters immersed in ranch life. He'd built twin adjacent rural homes, one for his parents. Reese's mom also lives there. Then one day, out of the blue, Ron told Reese he joined the Army.
If the right thing needed to be done, he wanted to be right in the middle of it. And so with that in mind, the fear, the like, oh my gosh, reaction, you know, are you stupid reaction, all of those thoughts that anybody would have, really quickly subsided, and my heart was filled with pride. And I was determined to be the best military wife I could be and support him, even though it totally changed our entire life.
Reese set three conditions: keep the ranch, keep the kids at home, and keep her doctors in Denver, where complications from diabetes now have her on waiting lists for kidney and pancreas transplants. The Army assigned Ron to the closest post, Fort Carson, Colorado, a two-hour drive away. After he deployed to Iraq, 14-year-old Rebecca was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. This was a military family with more challenges than most, even before the bomb blast in Iraq.
We were driving down the road, just headed out on patrol. Just an explosion happened. Just things flying everywhere. Seemed like a lot of chaos in our vehicle. Seemed like everything just took forever. You know, everything just happened in slow motion.
Ron couldn't hear. He had a perforated eardrum, and he bled from what seemed like minor shrapnel wounds. He was treated and sent back to work. 9 days later, there was another crisis at home. Reese had suffered a heart attack. Ron rushed back to Colorado on emergency leave. Reese improved, but Ron got sick and sicker himself. The day he was due to head back to Iraq, he was in a civilian hospital outside Denver in intensive care.
Ron was on a ventilator, fully intubated, and in a coma. So in a matter of less than 10 hours, he went from talking to me to being on life support.
And what did they tell you about his chances of survival?
Well, within the first 18 hours, they called in my family and gave him his last rites because they didn't expect him to live to sunrise.
Daughter Rebecca joined her mom and sister and grandparents at Ron's bedside.
When I had to say goodbye to my dad, I really wasn't mad. I really wasn't anything. It basically was I was in shock and I couldn't feel anything. And all I could keep thinking was, this is not true. My dad never was sick. He was the strongest person I knew. So when I looked at the man laying on the hospital bed, I honestly, for the longest time, could not believe that was my dad.
Ron's doctors say his raw strength helped him beat the odds, even after 16 days in a medically induced coma. Months of treatment and therapy have him well enough now to do one of his favorite things. Grilling steaks. They sizzle as he sprays them. This is beef the family's raised, and he checks out each cut with a thermometer, then jokes with a supper guest.
They need to go just a little bit more to get them to where we like them. They need to go a lot more to get them where you like them.
It's times like these when Ron seems normal. But review his medical records and listen to his family, and it's clear there's no such thing as normal anymore. No hunting or hiking with the girls, no riding horses with them, no driving them into town for ice cream. Ron can't help with homework. He gets frustrated and angry easily. He needs a Palm Pilot to remind him to do things. And daughter Rebecca says he can't connect in ways he once could.
Before Dad got hurt, we just kept thinking we're grateful it didn't happen to us. But then it did, and I didn't talk to anyone because my dad was the only person I did talk to. And he obviously couldn't talk to me, so I just kind of kept it bottled inside.
Ron has lost his ability to be a father, a son, a husband, because he has lived his life being injured and trying to figure out how to just deal with that. Because it's not the injury. I think, Howard, what people don't realize, it's not the injury that destroys families. It's the aftermath. It's how you reconstruct your life, how you physically regroup emotionally, financially. It will never be the same.
There are moments to cherish.
Oh, God!
Like this one, the whole family at a big steak dinner. including Ron and 13-year-old Callie, the youngest daughter.
Mommy, this is such a funny show that reminded me of you and Dad.
Uh-oh. Callie has another perspective on life with a wounded dad. She used to get angry, she says, and ask, why did this happen to her? But then she'd count her blessings, remembering all those other families with dads or moms who didn't come home.
Give me your plates, please.
The Hinkles are still struggling with some of their biggest challenges yet. They're tens of thousands of dollars in debt, and they may lose their ranch because Reese gave up a lucrative income to take care of Ron, and because the U.S. Army failed to provide all the benefits and support it's supposed to. That has Reese feeling victimized twice.
The honor that I carry in my heart is that he gave up everything. So for him to be injured doing his job, that comes with the job. That's a risk. But the way he was taken care of afterwards, it's very disheartening. I feel like they almost make the guys feel like you never mattered. And I heard that Ron would never be forgotten. And I don't believe that anymore. I believe he's been forgotten.
The Army has a mixed record when it comes to Ronald Hinkle and his family. More on that tomorrow. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
And when Howard's story continues tomorrow, we'll also hear how veterans and family support organizations have helped the Hinkles, including a group called USA Cares.
When we first heard the story, it was not to be believed. It just was incomprehensible that so many things could happen to a family in such a short period of time. I mean, again, we couldn't believe it.
That's Roger Stradley with the military family group USA Cares. We'll hear from him tomorrow when Howard Berkus's report continues. You can also hear more from the Hinkle family talking about how they've adjusted to life since their father's injury at npr.org.